Hello and welcome to Glitch Cube, a gaming podcast, and each week we take a deeper look into the art of video games. As always, I'm Christian.
And I'm Chris.
And welcome back, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us once again as we dive further into the world of games. So, a lot's been going on lately in gaming, and there's a lot of, like, evolution or growth in the way that games are being delivered to us. Especially over the last, I guess, since games came out, things have changed so much, whether it was freeware or, shared from office to office, like the Tetris days to cartridges to discs, now digital downloads and all these kind of things. Like the evolutions of how we've gotten games have changed quite a bit over the years. And coinciding with that, the way that we receive our demos for games have changed a lot as well. The way that we play them, the content that's in the demos themselves, everything has changed drastically. So that's what we're going to be talking about this week. We're going to be talking about demos themselves and how they've changed. Is it for the better, the worse? Are they just not the same anymore? Right? Like, are we being used as gamers by these companies with these quote-unquote demos? I don't know, but we'll be chatting about that a little bit. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this kind of stemmed from the... I mean, we both played Unicorn Overlord, right? And they had the very interesting concept, which is, I would say, fairly new-ish, but I know a lot of games are doing it, where they just let you play the game for X amount of time. And if you want to purchase the game, then everything carries over, which is great. I think that's a really cool concept. And it allows you to really play through the game. But then it got us thinking about how we played demos back in the day, of having to get a magazine and getting a demo disc and everything. And it's really just opened our eyes to how much things have actually changed. And yeah, so I'm kind of curious, what was your like earliest demo experiences or like maybe one like a standout that you maybe played more than the actual game or never actually played the original game, but played the demo a lot, like something like that?
So for me, I guess the demo that I remember the most of, I'm trying to remember which, if it was PlayStation Underground or if it was the one that came, because I know there was a demo disc, I think, that came with the PlayStation. But like there was one that came with Brave Fencer Musashi, and this one sticks out the most to me because I just remember it's the scene where he's running out and there's this rolling head behind him and you're like running towards the screen, jumping over stuff, basically, you know, typical of the time, Crash Bandicoot running from a boulder kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this game's amazing. I need this game. Like, you know, at that point when the PlayStation was out, like, I feel like games were a little bit, they were getting cheaper because they were on disc. So it was a little bit easier. Also, renting was a thing. So, you know, sometimes it felt like renting was almost like a demo when you think about it. But,
that's true. That's a good point.
That one specifically really sticks out to me because I still can remember to this day, like, playing that demo. And there was like this purple one. I think that's the one that came with the PlayStation, and I played the hell out of it. I think it might actually be the one that has it. But the other game that I remember was Wild 9, and this game is ridiculous. For people that don't know, it's like kind of like Abe's Odyssey, like that kind of narrative platformer kind of game, but you get this like weird like plasma hand, or like it looks like a lightning hand kind of, or like a whip basically, and you can lasso enemies and grab them with it, right? And throughout the stage there's like these little death pits, and this is basically the gimmick of the game. It's like, oh, you can grab these people and launch them into these saw blades, and it's just gore everywhere. And it's like, you know, as a kid I was like, this is badass, like, you know, I'm like, dude, this demo's cool. Never ended up getting the game until way later. But yeah, those two demos, and I remember I think it was the, you know, there was some other ones that stood out to me that they came with games, right? Because I feel like after a while they started including, especially like Squaresoft, right? They would put demos of their future games in it. And I think a big one that stood out to me too was the Dragon Quest VIII game, because it came with a demo for Final Fantasy XII.
Right.
And
yeah,
I was like, dude, it's 12. Like, this is crazy. You know, like, I was super excited about it. And
where you get to fight a T-Rex. It was awesome.
It was just, it was just so, like, I don't know. It felt important, right? Like, I remember, you know, just the only way you could really be excited about a future game was through a magazine. Or once a year when E3 popped up, you know, like, you would see trailers, you would see people playing the games for you, like demos at the trade show. And it's like, wow, I can't wait for that. But being able to actually play it and it looks pretty, like, man, what a time. Yeah. What about you?
I don't remember exactly which demo disc this was, but I remember it sticking out to me so much because it was like an entire world, but you would jump into the games themselves. So, like, you had to, like, instead of just picking from a menu, you actually had to, like, run around as a first-person character, and you run up to these portals that had the name of the game above them. And, like, that to me was so cool, where it's like, oh, like, I'm actually, like, going into the system and, a game within a game. And it was just so, so interesting to me, right? Like, it just made it that much more of a memorable experience. But probably one of the biggest demos ever for me, and you just brought it up, was the Final Fantasy XII demo, actually. So I was very late to the game of Dragon Quest. I knew of it, but I didn't never really played one of those games. I was always just playing Final Fantasy titles. And when I saw that there was a demo for Final Fantasy XII attached to Dragon Quest, I was like, yeah, I need to buy this game right now, because that's how much of a fanboy I was of Final Fantasy at the time. Like, anything Final Fantasy, I needed it right then and there. So to have early access to something new like that, I was all over it. And then I ended up falling in love with Dragon Quest at the same time. So it was kind of like an interesting win-win. Now, what's funny is whenever Final Fantasy XII first came out, I didn't really enjoy that game that much. I kind of bounced off it really quickly. But the combat system was a little interesting. It was new. I didn't really understand it. You know, my kid brain couldn't comprehend how to actually play this game properly. But now playing it, I think, what was it, like last year I replayed it and ended up beating it and really enjoying the combat and the battle systems and just the skill trees and everything. Being able to dive through all of that a little bit more and being older and appreciating it on a different level. Now I understand that title, which I think is funny. But yeah, no, it was, Final Fantasy XII, that demo really cemented, like, my love for Dragon Quest as well, which I think is pretty fantastic. And I played the hell out of that game, despite being able to play Final Fantasy XII, the demo. I think I played that XII demo a lot. I just kind of kept running around and trying to figure things out. Kept running up to that dumb T-Rex and trying to kill it, but definitely can't kill it. It's way too strong. So I ended up getting murdered by that thing a lot. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. That definitely was one of my biggest demo moments there. For sure. So with the way that demos are set up, and you brought up E3, which, you know, E3 is a dead art now, unfortunately. It's been dying for a long time, and it's officially, like, gone. And maybe there are some gamers out there that don't even know what it is, which I think might be kind of funny and a little sad, but probably true. But they did a lot of interesting things with their demos, right? They showed you, it was showcase demos. They showed you what they wanted you to see. So you would see these amazing looking graphics and all this stuff. And then when you get the actual game, sometimes they upheld their end of the deal and they stuck with what they actually said they were going to deliver. And other times they happened to fall a little flat. So for me personally, I think that the biggest one that I can remember is probably No Man's Sky, as far as that tech demo went, that with them being talking about how expansive the world's going to be and how beautiful the graphics were in it. And then when you finally got your hands on the game, it was not great. It was actually very disappointing at first. I mean, it was fun, but it was nowhere near the expectations that they had built for this title. And now, of course, like, you can go and play that game now, and it's actually pretty good. Like, a lot of people really love it, and I tried playing it again and realized it's just not my kind of game. But it does look a lot prettier, it does run a lot smoother, and there definitely is a lot more to do, which is nice. But yeah, I would say that's probably one of, like, my biggest, when it comes to the other side of demos, when it comes to tech demos or showcasing, that's one that really was like, wow, this is a huge departure. But is there a tech demo or a demo that you played, and then when you played the actual game, there was like a sense of disappointment there, or something has changed so drastically?
I think actually No Man's Sky might be mine too, but in a different way. I remember seeing it being talked about and all this kind of stuff, and like, a part of me wasn't really like blown away by everything they had shown. I was kind of like, oh, I get to fly in space, that sounds cool. And that was about it. And I remember, like, I'm trying to remember why, but like, I do remember like picking it up day one. And I went on a journey too, because my car was in the shop. So I walked to GameStop, which was about, I don't know, the nearest one was maybe like 2 miles away. So I walked 2 miles there, 2 miles back, all excited, like, oh, hell yeah, dude, I can't wait to play this.
That's so funny.
And I played it, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, but it's like, oh, you're just trying to get to the center of the universe. And, like, I think I was pretty captivated for the first, like, 4 hours or so. Like, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, naming everything, doing all this kind of stuff. And you realize that's kind of it. Like, anyone out there that has played No Man's Sky now that never played it during launch, it's so different. It's insane. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what it is, like, it just had another massive update, like, last week, I think.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I think they said they still have, I think, 3 more planned, because they are working on another game that's working, like, slowly on one planet. Which is interesting, you know, because it's kind of like, oh, should we, like, you know, obviously they learned from the past and they're not going to do that again, but also, like, are they going to do that again, you know? But for me, like, I guess I was just really bummed out, but I always kind of held on to it. Like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, there's no way they're going to give up on this game, because it, like, even when it came out, you could tell, like, how passionate, it's Sean Murray as the developer, and how he was just so devoted to it. And I was like, I'll keep this game. I think it'll get fixed, you know. And a year went by and there was nothing really to it. And I'm like, maybe one day. It's like a stock, you know, like, I'm going to hold this stock till it just burns. And I mean, for the most part, it did get burned. Like, everyone hated it for so long. Even once it started getting new stuff added, people still hated it. Nowadays, like you said, now people are just like, oh, it's not my kind of game, which is understandable, even though, like, there's so much to it now. Like, I think, you know, like, obviously now you can build towns, you can have settlements, you can do all kinds of crazy stuff in it, which is awesome. But for me personally, like you said, I'll go back to it every couple updates just to kind of see. And it's fun, you know, like, if I'm playing with someone else, like, it's kind of enjoyable. But at the end of the day, there's just something about it that just can't keep me hooked for long periods of time. And I think it's just like, I don't want to say because it's a story, because I know they've added a lot of stuff into it now where it kind of ropes you in more. But
there's something about the gameplay loop
in the back of my mind
really grab for some reason.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't want to have to go around and mine stuff. Like, if I want to goof around, mine and all that stuff, I'll play Minecraft because I like Minecraft a lot. You know, like, to me, like, that's my cozy game. You know, like, if I want to zone out, I'm going to that. Whereas, like, with No Man's Sky, like, it's cool flying, and I will admit, in VR, it's really freaking cool flying that spaceship, because it's, like, you're actually turning the modules and cranking it back. Like, it's
that, see,
a very
awesome.
Awesome experience. Yeah. Like, that's the way, like, if someone was to just experience No Man's Sky, like, dude, in VR, it's tight. It's cool. But, yeah, I feel like that's really the only time from a showcase that I ever felt kind of like let down, because I know a lot of other people were kind of let down by BioShock, but I feel like when BioShock Infinite came out, I wasn't super into that series at the time. Mm-hmm. I kind of always thought like, oh, BioShock's okay. So I wasn't really like disappointed by it, but I had a friend that was like really bummed.
Right.
And of course, you know, years later, I ended up playing Infinite, and I'm like, in my opinion, this game kind of sucks. But compared to the first two, right? Like, the first two are great. Whereas the third
Infinite
game, it's like, what? Like,
weird. I didn't really like Infinite at all.
It just,
There's too much.
It didn't,
like,
feel
stuff.
Right.
Yeah, there's too much stuff going on that they were almost like trying too hard to expand on that concept, and it just didn't really work. But I mean, I understand the frustrations that people had from the original like tech demo or showcase of it, of the expansive AI that they were going to use for the dialogue system for all the NPCs and all that. That all got scrapped, and then these beautiful sceneries that you would see them walking through when they were showing it off. And then when you get the game, they dumb down a lot of the graphics or the visuals so that they could actually ship the title. So there was a lot of like big grandiose ideas that got pulled back on. And it is tough, especially whenever you're trying to market your game and sell something. You want to show the best. But it doesn't mean, like, if you can't ship the best, then I don't know. I feel like having a more honest showcase, I think, is a better one, personally, because at least gamers will know what they're getting into, and there's less chance of people really retaliating, which is what they did. And, I mean, they definitely did it with No Man's Sky and burned that to the ground. So it will never get the fan base that it probably would have. Like, if the game now, of what we have of No Man's Sky now, got released originally, then I could see that game.
My God.
Like, that would have been like the game of the century, right? Like, it would have been huge.
Mm-hmm.
But because of how much it burned people and all that, and like how much they changed, and it's tough. Like, they're you know, fighting an uphill battle at this point, trying to get back where they were, which is difficult to say.
I think a problem a lot of times with those showcases is that they're trying to make demos that are going to wow people. And the problem with trying to wow people is that people's opinions in games change very fast compared to, say, film or, you know, other forms of media, where, you know, you could be working on a game for 3 years and you're like, oh, man, when you look at the current landscape of games, like, this is going to be amazing. This is going to blow people away.
Mm-hmm.
By the time summer comes around and you're dropping at Summer Games Fest, you know, there's already 10 other new game ideas that people are into. You know, it's not going to be as crazy, or you're going to add stuff to make it seem crazy, and then it's just not, it's not perfected, right? Like,
right.
It got to the point now where everyone's like, oh, this is just a cinematic trailer. People want to see gameplay footage. They want to see demos. They want to play demos. And for the most part, people have gotten better with that. I mean, when you think about where demos started, right? Like, I was really curious about kind of when the whole demo thing happened. And, I mean, it can be kind of like taken back to like the late 80s with shareware and stuff, where you would get usually one full game and then you would get a bunch of like smaller little bits and bobs kind of mixed in. And it was kind of interesting how that was all kind of spread around through like word of mouth. And then I was trying to figure out like when magazines started carrying demos, and it seems to really vary. Most of it seemed to start with like, I had someone say that it was like the earliest was 94 for like PC, but it seems like primarily it was like really like mid 90s, like 96, when you would see more PC and PlayStation get it. And, you know, kind of coming back to where we first started with the episode, where the thing I loved about the demos on the PlayStation is it had all these behind the scenes stuff. Like they started their PlayStation Underground, where it was like, here's behind the scenes of this game. Oh, here's, you know, you get stupid celebrity cameos in there, right? Like Frankie Muniz, for some reason, was like the face of PlayStation at one point. Like he was in so many of their stuff. In one E3, he was a reporter for them. Like he went around hiding from this adult because he didn't want to get caught because it was a school day. And that was the whole gimmick for his E3, like, journalism thing that he was doing. But, like, they went all out for these demos that, you know, you didn't see on the PC side of it. The PC side, like, it just had nice UI and the demos were somewhat big. But for the PlayStation, it was cool because it had all this stuff. It also had save files that you could transfer to your memory card, which was cool. Mm-hmm. I remember that. And like different regions, like, so our PlayStation magazine would have some games on it, but if you went to Germany, theirs would be different. England, they'd be different. Like every European region had their own demos with different games. And like some of the countries had like a bunch of other added crazy stuff that we never really saw over here. Like, with like walkthroughs and stuff on the disc. But it's crazy to think like back then, like they were really trying to sell you on these games by adding all this stuff. And it's like, you know, when you look at it now, people wouldn't appreciate that. Mm-hmm. At least like maybe their core target demographic, for maybe us that are more interested, like maybe how a game works or just more about the games, like, hell yeah, that's cool. But in the grand scheme of things, that wouldn't really work, let alone no one really has a disc drive on their computer anymore.
That's true, yeah.
You know, like, I put one in mine just for the nostalgia kick of it, but have I used it? Maybe 3 times since I put it in, like, 8 years ago. But it's interesting because I miss like behind the scenes stuff and developer talks and games, you know, like it'd be cool. Like when you beat a game, there'd be an option where you unlock stuff and it's like, here's a talk with the developer about how the game was made. Like that's like the kind of stuff I want to see.
Art
like,
books that would pop up. And yeah. I love those.
Yeah.
Things.
And you know, it's sad because we don't see that anymore. And another thing I found really interesting, and this seemed to take effect more in the next, maybe the 2 generations after, like 360, 3DS, PlayStation 3, but like where demos were different than the game. So say the first thing I found, and I remember this too, was the Pokemon Sun and Moon demo actually had like a different route that you could catch. I forgot which Pokemon it was. It wasn't Greninja, but it was someone, and I think you could only catch it in that demo.
Interesting.
And then you would have to transfer it over, but it was like a place that you couldn't access in the main game. And then you have like Resident Evil 7, which had like this, you know, you're trying to escape the house, but it's like fast paced compared to the actual game. But say you beat that, you get a coin that carries over to the main game. And there's so many other games that kind of do that where the demo is like its own enclosed little space, but it's more of like a, here's the mechanics, see if you like it, we're going to throw it at you, which I like. I kind of like that just because you look at modern games and a lot of it, like what you said, where it's like, here's a segment from the main game that you're going to play. And I mean, that's cool, but like, I feel like it doesn't truly let you try everything at your disposal because you're playing a certain segment of the game. You put me in a room where I'm going to have to utilize all the gameplay mechanics quickly in a small space. I'll probably pick up on it faster and know if I actually like it. And it's interesting because I feel like some developers have kind of expanded on that idea and other ones have just kind of like stopped. And I noticed a big thing recently is making demos prologues, which kind of, I don't know if you can so much call these prologues demos, but like Alone in the Dark, one that just came out, did that where at first it was marketed like, oh, the Alone in the Dark demo came out, everyone try it out. And then it's like, oh, this is a prologue. So it's like it leads into the main game, which is cool. You know, I think to me that might be the best approach to a demo nowadays is to just make it a prologue to your game because it just adds to it, right? Mm-hmm. Or how Unicorn, you get 7 hours to play.
That's a which, long time.
You know, when you first told me that, I was like, 7 hours? Like, it's a 50-hour game. I'm going to get a good chunk of this done. And it's funny because it's like, I think I got like 26% of the map filled out in that 7 hours. And I felt like I got a lot done. But after beating that game, I'm like, it's a good chunk. It does definitely doesn't feel like a quarter of the game that you play. Like there's still a lot to go, but it was cool. You know, that's a long time, but it makes sense because it's a long game. And
there's a lot going on mechanics wise too. I think it took the 7 hours to fully understand and appreciate the gameplay loop, the mechanics behind it, like how to properly organize troops, experiment with things. The 7 hours was actually necessary to play it to really understand and fall in love with this title. So it was pretty clever on their part to do that.
Yeah, I think like that's what really stood out to me. And I would love to see more games do that, that are more complex or longer, where it's like, just give me more time to see a good chunk of the systems at play. Because in Unicorn, there are systems later on that get kind of added in that you don't see in the demo. And it was great because it's like, I don't see everything in the demo, but I see enough to know that I want to buy it. Right. Which is, in my opinion, the goal of a demo. And yeah, it's like, you know, it's weird kind of where demos are at now, because you could argue that early access, like not really a demo, but with how broken some of them are, feels like that too, right? Like mm-hmm. you said in the beginning, are we just guinea pigs? And most games usually feel pretty complete when they're in early access, especially if it's kind of like a developer that's made games before. But yeah, it's crazy, you know, kind of where we're at with that.
Yeah, the whole early access thing, I like it and I hate it at the same time because of that issue where I feel like I have become a QA tester for them. And they always have like the spot where you can report issues or you can leave things in the comments. And if it's a good developer, they're responding to those comments and sending out updates based off of the feedback of the players. But I feel like that's taking away from a core job that's in the gaming industry itself is the QA testers. Like that's necessary. And they should be doing that research on their own. They should be trying to break their game on their own and not relying on the, you know, everybody to do it for them. Because I feel like early access titles do the same thing every single time where I'm having fun with it, I'm enjoying it, maybe you're even able to beat the entire game, And then a few months later, it's like, okay, everyone, come back, please. You're right? Like the 1.0 release is finally out. The actual game's out now. And it's like, well, I already beat it. I don't want to do it again because, oh, you maybe up the graphics or change a line of dialogue or, right? Like, I already played the game, so my experience with it is already done. I don't know. It's replaying games for me right now is not something that like I do often. I only do it for some core like nostalgic games. So having to replay an early access game because now these things are fixed, quote unquote, it just kind of feels silly to me. And I mean, that's why I held off on games like Cyberpunk for so long, because I was waiting for to get the feedback of, oh, this game's ready, right? And now I can play it. Like, the release date didn't mean anything to me. So when I see, like, early access release dates, that means nothing to me. Like, I'm waiting for the actual game to come out to see the original intent of the designer, to see the actual game as a whole, where I'm not having to deal with all these bugs because they didn't test it properly or whatever it may be. So, yeah, I don't know. I have I'm not really a big fan of the idea of the early access for those reasons.
Yeah, I feel like they're really hit or miss because some really do feel complete, right? And there's been times where, like, I think about like Pal World, right? Where you play it and there's stuff there, but it also just feels very bland. But then you look at a game like, what, Satisfactory is still early access, and that game is like,
see, that's the thing that really bugs
there's
me.
A lot of content, yeah.
that really, you know, like me, because the game came out so 4 years ago, yeah, like just say it's the release. Don't say it's early access still, because at this point,
I mean, Valheim is still early access. Well, I know Valheim is still adding stuff,
but you know, like, are people going to go back to Valheim once it's done, or quote unquote done by the designers? Or because like,
see, a game like Valheim or Satisfactory, where there's no like overarching storyline, I could see people coming back, right? Because it's like, one's a survival game, so it's easy to hop back into, because it's like, oh, they're just adding a new region, so oh, we'll just sail over there. Or like Satisfactory, it's like, what, you get like new conveyor belts, you get new machines you can add, like games like that, it's easy. But if you're playing like a single player story heavy game where like, oh, once we're out of early access, there's a whole story chunk, and it's like, well, now I don't want to replay it. Whereas like a lot of these, like I played Valheim, right, when it first came out, and then they added like the Mistlands, and they added something, like they kept adding stuff. And I would check it out because it was nice, because it, one, it didn't make me start over. Two, it was like I was at the point where I would go to that area. So it just kind of worked out. And I think that's key with early access, because it's like, if I'm going to play your game and then you're going to add a stuff that comes out in the beginning of the game, like you said, I'm not at that point where I'm like, I want to replay games because there's so many games out there. I want to play more. So, for me, replaying a game is kind of off limits, unless it's like you said, nostalgia, right? Like, I'll play an old game that I used to love, but I don't know. Even, it's weird. I don't know. I feel like if I'm replaying a game for the most part, that I'm wasting my time.
Right.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that I do love is that with the Steam Next Fest, how they treat that, where it's just all game demos. And I wish like they could do that on other platforms. Now, granted, I know that Steam has a lot more indie games and it's a lot easier for them to put that on there. But I really think that making a showcase for upcoming demos is really like maybe the best thing for demos. Like, every time there's a Next Fest, I'm always checking it out. I'm always downloading at least like 7 different demos, usually get to 3, but this is cool. Like, it, in a lot of ways, like that kind of event it feels like the old days where it's like, I'm just going to check out all these games and some of these might be broken. Some of these might be cool. Like, you just don't know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's demos are in a weird state. You know, I mean, you look at what games are popular and none of them are really single player, at least with the youth. Right.
So yeah, it's true. Sad, actually. I miss my good old single player games. Can't get enough of those, honestly. But everything seems to be battle royales and multiplayers and all this stuff. And like, I don't remember having a big enough group of friends to that had that much time to like dump into games when I was younger. So yeah, I guess times have changed, just like demos have changed. Well, all right. I think that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you guys for joining us in this little conversation as we talk about the evolution of demos and how they've changed and all that stuff. But anyway, join us next week as we dive further into the world of games. But until then, bye for now.